morning, everyone, as we're starting to admit people into the from the waiting room. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Ryan Zabralski. I'm the lead of our rulemaking project team here at Ecology. On behalf of the rest of my team here, I'd like to thank you all for joining us. So over the next hour, we will quickly review our progress since our last round of public feedback back in late July and August. We will also discuss what changes we made and why we made them, then provide an update on our timeline. So after that, we'll open the floor for you to provide any feedback to help us continue to develop our rules. And before we get into that, I want to go around the rest of my rulemaking team here that is joining me today, just to briefly introduce them. And then we'll do a follow-up, a brief walkthrough of the Zoom meeting functions for anyone who may be unfamiliar with them. So joining us today is Annette Hoffman, our program director. We have Mugda Flores, our communications manager. And she will be helping us with some of the Q&A later after the presentation. And then we also have Diana Alegre, who is also here to help manage the Zoom chat and other parts along with Mugda. So without further ado, let's go ahead. Diana, if you're ready, we can go ahead and go over the Zoom navigation and accessibility features of our.
Nice. Thanks, Ryan. Okay, just a moment here. Goodness. All right. Hi, folks. I'm here to help with the Zoom features. So I wanted to just point out a few things. Many of you have been to meetings such as this before, but just to run over them for those who may not have. First of all, we have a mute and unmute button you'll notice along the top band. If it's not showing for you, if you mouse over it, you'll be able to see it. Please stay muted and keep your cameras off while during the presentation. There'll be a chance to ask questions later. If you go to the participants icon there, you can see that there's a participants list. You can see who's there, including the host and other guests. Also, so the chat side panel, the chat feature there is the next thing in line, and it allows you to share comments or ask questions during the presentation and after. And if you need to have, if you had any technical assistance, go ahead and note that you can pull down the thing and send a direct message directly to the host, who's Mugda Flores. So go ahead and do that. The closed caption turns the transcriptions on and off. The reaction button allows you to click and expand it. And that's where the hand raise function is, which will be important when we have the questions and answers. The closed caption feature turns on transcriptions, which might be helpful. That can also turn them off. And if anybody here is on the phone, I don't see that they are. So if anyone has any questions about muting and unmuting while I'll be on the phone, then let me know. Can you go ahead and change to the next slide, please, Ryan? Oh, it's there. Okay. I'm sorry. It's underneath my panel. All right. Well, then the next slide, we're showing that this is just sort of a closer look at what we were looking at before. You can hide and show the subtitles. There's a way that you can go down and view the entire transcription, and that you can also see that it has the raise hand function here as well. If you open up the chat, it's over there on the right, and that's where it should open up for you to be able to add things. That's all, really. If anyone has any questions, go ahead and send us a message to the host and we'll be able to answer them for you. More information is available in the chat. Thanks.
Diana. So back in late July and August, we shared our first set of draft rules. We're here today because we've made some changes along the way and want to make sure we're keeping the public up to date as we go through those changes prior to moving on to the next phases of rulemaking. So we received lots of feedback, made some appropriate changes based on that, and then began our internal review process with our rule experts here at Ecology after that comment period. And this was included in the 8-week economic review I mentioned during those summer meetings. During that process, we received a lot of feedback and recommendations that improved our draft rules from them. And because of this, we believe we had the time and obligation to put a pause on our internal review and share with you all our revised draft rules. We wanted to make sure that when our draft rule becomes our proposed rules, we didn't have something completely unrecognizable to the public and regulated community compared to what we shared this summer. Also, during that time, us and the other agencies continued to meet on a regular basis to discuss cannabis, not exclusively rulemaking, but all things that we have cannabis related that we are connected to. We'll go over what our language changes were since then. When we first released our draft rules this summer, they were formatted and worded extremely similar to our existing environmental accreditation rules. Those rules work for that regulated community in no small part due to the length of time us as an agency and the regulated community have been working together with one another. The rules have had a few rounds of edits and revisions as that time has passed. Unfortunately, here with cannabis, we don't have that benefit here. So we reworded our cannabis rules to be more clear to both the regulated community and the public. These were in collaboration with our rules experts team, who provided us with a lot of helpful recommendations and best practices for rules that are new compared to revising existing rules. Some of those recommended changes led to reformatting, such as the replacement of bullet points in some places and non-numbered regulations with numbers, letters, and lowercase Roman numerals to match what is found in other rules across the agency. This makes it easier for someone who is reading the rules to clearly and accurately cite a specific regulation for whatever they need. A good example of this would be how the qualified and interim accreditation sections have been reformatted. Along with the rewording, some sections were also renamed to more accurately relay what they are intending to describe. A great example of this is the previously titled accreditation categories section was renamed to a more accurate matrix group section. The term matrix is more widely used and clarified in this rule, while the term category was not, even though they might practically seem to mean the same thing. Outside of the new sections, which I'll touch on very shortly, we also moved a specific section to be closer to its sister section. So originally, we had our previously titled compliance inspections and access section of the WAC down in the end towards our fee sections and assistance to laboratories. For our cannabis rules, it felt like the section needed to be closer to the section of the WAC that describes the audit process. You will also notice this is also an instance where we renamed the section to audit access. This made sense to us with the relocation to this current location based on the content of the two sections. Lastly, you will notice that registered status has been removed from our rules. Initially, we thought this would play a transitory role as labs moved from the current accreditation system to this one. This was something that Ecology had in a previous version of the environmental WAC when we were bringing wastewater treatment facilities over into our accreditation umbrella. After many discussions with both our internal team, the rules expert sections here at Ecology, and our sister agencies, we concluded that the registered status would not aid in the transition as it did with the wastewater treatment facilities. The accreditation approval requirements section was removed as well because it was not providing any regulatory benefit when other sections were serving the role in a more complete way. So that section was retooled in a way that effectively made it a new section. Speaking of new sections, in our previous version of the draft rules, the applications for both initial and renewal of accreditations were one single section. We went through several rounds of asking ourselves, how do we make this work as one section? And if you pictured this as a Venn diagram, the two types of applications have a lot of overlap, but they are not entirely the same and have some very clear differences. Eventually, we just decided it was easier for us and clearer to the regulated community and the public for them to be two separate sections. So we broke them apart, separate requirements adequately highlighted. Our second new section was adding an SOP section similar to the one we have about the quality assurance manual. When going through our internal review, it was pointed out that we had several sections within our rule where reference was made to an SOP, and we didn't really have a clear explanation of what that was in the definition section. As many of us are aware, there are no two SOPs that are the same. We couldn't do something as short and simple as adding a definition in the definition section to cover those differences. For a practical example, in the cannabis world, I'm sure your SOPs for your foreign matter inspections are going to be significantly different than your pesticide SOPs. With us dropping the registered status, we felt it was important to more clearly outline the actions our accreditation staff are taking after an application is received. A section such as this is missing from the environmental rules, mostly due to the length of time and familiarity the agency and regulated community have with one another, and how best practices with rule development have changed since those rules were first conceived. A section like this is to give labs new to the space a clear set of expectations of how ecology is going to process their applications. Touch upon how our fee section has changed. Since we last met, we wanted to try and find a way to address the feedback we received while still meeting our statutory directive. Initially, when we read the applicable RCW, it mentioned to have given ecology direction to collect fees only from accredited labs. It also required the fees to fully cover the administrative and oversight costs of the cannabis laboratory accreditation program. Following that plan, we built our fees by calculating our expected cost for the accreditation team we would need here, then equally divide that cost among the number of currently accredited laboratories. Initially, this projected us to need to cover somewhere in the ballpark of $500,000 a year from the laboratories, funding for us to hire an experienced microbiologist and chemist with a background in cannabis. It also includes items such as ongoing IT time for application development and database support for the unit. When divided by the 8 existing labs at the time, that came out to roughly $62,000 a year. Since that time, we have lost the laboratory. Since there are only currently 7 labs in the state, the costs are a bit higher than they are for environmental labs. Unfortunately, with the legal barriers that limit the accreditation scope to only the 7 laboratories, cannabis laboratories in our state, that is the cause of that disparage, that gap. In the environmental world, our scope is applicable to 450 some labs all over the United States and a few in Canada. So after we received our comments last round, we reevaluated and decided that concluded that we needed to do the following while meeting our statutory obligation. We reduced the program cost by reducing the staff down to just 1 cannabis-focused chemist and share time from another microbiologist on staff here at Ecology to cover those methodologies. We changed the fee equation to be calculated on a biennial schedule, since that is what the RCW directed us to do. With these changes, we came up with a roughly $670,000 cost for the accreditation program over a 2-year span, with the overwhelming majority of that cost being the salary and benefits of the experienced chemists we need to bring in. With that incorporated, this projects a yearly cost for a lab to be roughly $48,000 a year. With the removal of the registered status to transition the 7 current labs, the statutory requirement to only charge a fee to accredited labs and the shift to lining the fee schedule up on a biennial basis, we needed to find a way to cover the gap between the start of the new biennium and the transition of accreditation to ecology. We changed the equation in the fee section to cover the cost for the biennium, as I mentioned earlier, and we also cleaned up the definition of the variable N to be more clear what the number is and what happens if there are no accredited labs. We removed the phase-in, unfortunately, because the RCW explicitly states collect annual fees sufficient to cover the direct and indirect costs of implementing a state cannabis product testing laboratory accreditation program. A multi-year phase-in does not appear to be allowed. We also made the decision to move our fee start date back to July 1st of 2025. This is to both buy us at Ecology time to get as many laboratories accredited as possible and line up the fees on the same biennium as the state. We believe the line in the RCW that reads, "The State Cannabis Product Testing Laboratory Accreditation Program, initial development cost must be fully paid from the dedicated cannabis account." We believe that line gives us the capability to step this back and begin our fees in July 1st of 25. So before I open it up for questions, I'd like to quickly touch on how our timeline has changed due to this second informal comment period that we weren't initially expecting. So at the end of August, we submitted our draft rules to internal review with the economic team and the other rules experts. And between then and the middle of last month, we were doing a lot of back and forth, refining those rules and leading up to the informal comment period we're currently in. Now we have our comment today and then our webinar today and our webinar last week that are to giving us a chance to gain feedback and engage with the stakeholders. Starting in January, we will re-begin a slightly abbreviated version of the economic review with the appropriate changes we make between the end of our comment period and the beginning of January. And then in early March of 2024, we are anticipating our rule language to be proposed. At this time, we are targeting March 6th as the date, but it's not 100% set in stone quite yet. With that date, we expect our public hearings to be on or around April 9th and 10th. And we are not certain yet if we are going to have one or two. It would depend on our timeline. This would then give us a tentative date for adoption following the public comment and all the review that happens after that of May 31st of 2024, which gives us our required our standard practice of 31 days of after adoption before a rule goes live. Now, it seems like a pretty brief timeline, but we feel like it was very important to get more feedback from both the regulated community and the public and in general on these rules. And with that, I'll go ahead and wrap up our presentation. I want to thank you all for sticking with me while I plowed through and want to open the floor for feedback. And we'll offer as much clarification as we can. And if there are any sections or languages that is unclear. With that said, we have our comment page post. We will post our comment page in the chat, and that is the best way to provide feedback so that we can ensure that both us here at the rule team clearly understands the feedback and gives you, the commenter, the ability not to miss anything due to the brevity of our available time here today. The comment page also allows the commenter adequate space to fully articulate your comments and or attach documents. So we'll do our best with the time we have remaining, and I'll go ahead and turn it over to Mugda and Diana to lead the feedback session.
Thanks, Ryan. So I have shared a few links in the chat. So folks, you know, please take a look at our rule webpage, also our updated preliminary draft rule language, and a link to the comment period. I just sent another link, which did not work. So I'm going to fix that, make sure that it hyperlinks so you can open the comment period. But we're also, happy to take questions now. You can use the chat feature to type a question in the chat, either to everyone or you can send it to me. Thank you, Diana. So Diana's put the correct link for the comment period. You can also use the raise your hand feature and raise your hand and go ahead and you can unmute yourself, introduce yourself, and then ask your question. Or if you have a comment, you can provide that too. But we, again, highly encourage you to use the comment period to provide comments and additional feedback. And I don't see anybody on the phone, but if you are on the phone or if you need to switch over to a cell phone device, you can use star 6 to mute and unmute yourself and star 9 to raise and lower your hand. Or is it 8?
Star 8.
Okay, so
yeah.
Changed. Okay, so star 8 to raise and lower your hand.
I studied that stuff, you know.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We'll fix that in our earlier slides as well.
Waiting to go over, excuse me, waiting to jump in and ask questions. I do want to provide a little bit of clarification on the timeline, if I can get this document. Too many windows opening up. So just to make sure everyone heard, is March 6th is the tentative date we're looking to propose our rules, and that at this point is like 99% there on that being the date. The only thing we have to wait for is confirmation internally that we can have the necessary review meetings internally to get that covered. Give it a few more minutes. Maybe there's some folks on the phone that are having some, trying to articulate some thoughts. We'll give another two, 3 minutes or so. And if, you know, if there's no more comments, then we strongly encourage folks, if something comes up down the road, to submit your comment online at the links provided. And yeah, we'll give a couple more minutes. And if we don't hear anything, I think we'll go ahead and give y'all back some time in your day, especially in this time of year. I know that can be really, really appreciate, that'll be really beneficial to have some extra time to get things done around the holidays. So.
I've added some more links, reshared some links in the chat to our webpage and rule draft rule language. Also, if you have questions later, like after this meeting, you can also contact Ryan at eaprulemaking@ecy.wa.gov. The email information, contact information is also on our webpage.
That brings up one more thing I'd like to highlight. Our webpage, we're expecting to update it here in the next week or so to include the slides for the presentation that you've seen today and the one from last week. They're effectively the same presentation, just with a different date on it. That'll get put on our website in case you'd like to go back and review the slideshow while commenting. Not seeing any further comments or raised hands in the chat. I think we are going to go ahead and give you all the rest of the hour here that we previously had scheduled, so you can get to any holiday plans or other work that you might like to get done to get to those. We really want to appreciate you all taking some time out of your busy schedules to listen to us, and hopefully we really encourage all the feedback we can get. We're really looking to make sure that we build a rule when we propose here in March and then adopt again at the end of May that is mutually beneficial to both the laboratories, the cannabis, other cannabis industry, businesses in the industry, and ecology. And with that, I think we'll go ahead and let you go. Thank you very much, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, everyone. I'm going to end the meeting for everybody. So if you haven't left the meeting, it's going to take you out of it. So thank you all.